Well, greetings, saints. God bless you and keep you. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We appreciate you so much. Father, we ask that you give wisdom concerning this study today, and that your people be warned of things coming upon the world, and that they learn how to abide in you, the secret place of the Most High. Amen. Thank you so much. Well, saints, a while back, we devoted several Bible studies to the fact that the Lord was telling us that pestilence was going to be initiated in America. And we had dreams, visions, words given by random that turned out to point exactly to Babylon and its releasing pestilence against God's people. And of course, Babylon we've seen as the deep state, and there's really much proof to point towards this, and especially now. I'm going to share with you here just a piece of what is called the Worldwide Threat Assessment of the U.S. Intelligence Community. And this is Daniel R. Coates, the Director of National Intelligence, February 13th, 2018. It is this administration. And I want to point out to you one thing that they predict and what they say. And over the next year, we expect that ISIS is likely to focus on regrouping in Iraq and Syria, enhancing its global presence, championing its cause, planning international attacks, and encouraging its members and sympathizers to attack in their home countries. And another one, ISIS will continue to give priority to transnational terrorist attacks. Its leadership probably assesses that. If ISIS linked attacks continue to dominate public discourse, the group's narrative will be buoyed, and it will be difficult for the counter-ISIS coalition to portray the group as defeated, and the coalition will fight and will ultimately weaken. The coalition being the counter-ISIS coalition will ultimately weaken. That was their assessment. This was circulated on July the 20th. It began circulating. As you know, when the deep state decides to do something, they quite often announce it. The elite do that. They are in control of the deep state. And the deep state has basically backed ISIS through the Middle East to go through the Middle East and wipe out Christianity. And I don't know why people think that they brought them here for any other reason than to do that, because they're Satanists, and because that's Satan's plan. But it ain't God's plan, and he proved that. So this article is on Memri, M-E-M-R-I. It's a Middle East Media Research Institute TV Monitor Project. And the title of this article on July the 20th is Pro-ISIS Media Outlet Circulates Video Calling for Biological Attacks in the West. Now, I want to say And I think I will share a little bit more on this after I read the article, but I want to say that I think this is smoke in one regard, and that is most people don't believe ISIS can mount a biological attack that would be worth threatening the whole of the country. But there is somebody that's able to do that, and that would be the deep state. And since they're in deep trouble, and so many revelations are coming out, and many more, I think there's been 45,000 sealed indictments, many more are about to come out, and I think they have to do something. And of course, I said that back when we first talked about pestilence and it being used as a weapon against the United States. So, and I still believe it. It's even more so true now. So anyway, this is a pro-ISIS media outlet circulates video calling for biological attacks in the West. And, you know, like I said, I don't myself think that they have the labs to do such a thing. But they have the ability to send out a concoction of pestilences that'll go across this land because of who's backing them. And so when I read this to you, just know that they are threatening to do this, but they're not going to be able to do it on their own. They've got to have help. So, and this transcript was prepared from the original English subtitles of the video. So here's somebody transcribing this video. A narrator says things like phrases mixed with the dust of death. American figures transferred to hospitals immediately after receiving messages from an anonymous. It is a silent disaster where neither the explosions nor the panic of the Crusader police cars is heard. Only death spreads, victims fall one after the other. In 1422 AH, Crusader security services are shocked by Islamic bombing that shook the city of New York. That's one of their favorite targets, by the way. And it could start something that turned its streets into pools of blood before America is able to collect the pieces of its citizens scattered all over the place. It gets hit by the most dangerous strike. I want to say that there were people captured recently who were in possession, who had actually been used to steal radiological materials, and they were captured, and they're thinking that their purpose was to distract the Trump government with a radiological attack, and so they're of course looking into it. Okay, so something like a bomb in New York with a radiological purpose, you know, to basically make a good portion of that area unusable, and of course kill people, is not out of reason here. They don't have the materials. They only captured some people. Okay. It goes on to say the atoms of the city's air are contaminated by infectious germs and fatal bacterial diseases attached with letters with threatening words and phrases that make U.S. government remember its chemical massacres and the crimes it committed against the vulnerable people, and warns that the people of truth, which they claim to be, attained the ability to exact vengeance against their enemy. Mm-hmm. Going on, it says, quote, it was not long before the American hospitals announced the deaths of hundreds of cases that have been infected with foreign viruses. Bacteria has been developed and produced in large numbers to be inhaled by the victim, and then the symptoms of the disease begins to increase. This is the expected punishment for the oppressive U.S. policy, or bioterror, as they call it. On screen, it says, Islam prohibits the use of this type of mass terrorism and allows it in the exception of repelling aggression and reciprocity. Could it be reciprocity for being wiped out in the Middle East? Not nearly wiped out, but almost. And yes, it could be that. The narrator, again. While the world is watching silently, the European governments are developing satanic chemical attack systems to be brutally tested on the cities and peoples who refused humiliation and humiliation, so the Muslim countries in Africa and Khorasan turned into testing fields of phosphorus bombs and toxic gas. The Crusader Alliance continues bombing Mosul, Raqqa, Al-Anbar, and others with various types of chemical bombs and incendiary gases. Now, I'm not saying this is the truth. I'm just saying that such things are happening, you know. And similar to the enemies of God, we invite you, O Mawadhid, meaning monotheist, who lives between the mushrikeen, the idolaters, that you clean the dust of humiliation and to renew the fatal nightmare in the land of the devil worshippers with a silent destructive weapon. In other words, they recommended their troops in Western lands, and especially America, to retaliate. It cannot be detected or tracked. It cannot be escaped or avoided with simple equipment. Exact the most harmful viruses and infection bacteria, then release them safely by following these simple steps. First, try to find the most severe epidemics to treat. And on screen, it has hantavirus derived from the feces and droppings of rats that carry the plague of the most serious plague at the moment. And cholera virus extracted from the patient's waste. Typhoid bacteria found in human and animal wastes in general and frequent in the dirty areas. The narrator. Second, spread the bacteria exacted by type as follows. On screen, sprinkle the liquid substances on basics. Well, it goes on to explain how to spread it. You know, collect it and spread it. And it tells them how to protect themselves as they work on it. I still think this is mostly smoke, because from what the Lord told us, this attack is going to be from our enemies here in America. So, during the campaign, President Trump pointed out something that turned out to be true and will be proven. And that is that Obama and Hillary founded ISIS. And of course, there's a lot of disinformation up there from the left, because they've wiped out a lot of right-wing stuff off the internet now. And the only thing up there is the left saying, no, that was a lie, you know. But this is what happened. And I even watched stories where the Americans, you know, put great ammunition dumps in the Middle East, and then their military backed away from it when it was approached by ISIS, so that they could go in there and take it. And then some of that stuff's not there anymore. Okay. So here's something interesting. This is ABC News that got left up there. The leader of Hezbollah, this weekend quoted Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump's accusation that President Obama and Trump's Democratic rival Hillary Clinton founded ISIS. Hassan Nasrallah, leader of the Lebanese militant group, used Trump's claim last week that Obama and Clinton were behind the extremist group ISIS establishment to bolster his criticism of the U.S. administration in a speech in Lebanon on Saturday, according to transcripts posted by the group's media arm. So here's one of the enemy. Also, I posted some time back, probably a year ago, or maybe a year and a half ago, of a woman who works for the Israelis and listens to Muslim news stations and reports this to the Israeli government. And it's kind of well known over there that this is going on from those articles. It's real well known among the Muslims and among their sources that this is what's going on. So they kind of favored Obama. And of course, we know he's not completely out of power. Neither is Hillary. Neither is the deep state. Neither is the elite. Okay. So it goes on to say, this is not simple speech. Nasrallah said of Trump's remarks, this is an American presidential candidate. This was spoken on behalf of the American Republican Party. Well, more so himself. He has data and documents. Trump said on Wednesday that Obama was the founder of ISIS and later expanded the claim to include Clinton. Trump repeated his accusation throughout the next day. He said Friday morning that the comment was meant as sarcasm. This came because so much of the left wing rose up and came against him. And he did this a few times. He vacillated a little bit and then later went back to it. So it had the effect of calming down the enemy, while the people that knew the truth out there understood. But later that day qualified that by saying his initial claim was not that sarcastic. Yeah. Hezbollah, a Shiite Muslim militant group and political party, has aligned itself with Syrian President Bashar Assad's regime in that government's civil war against rebel factions. The Lebanese group is also fighting ISIS. The United States has openly called for Assad to step down and considers both Hezbollah and ISIS terrorist organizations. True. The WikiLeaks founder is convinced that the United States is supplying the arms for ISIS, has been supplying the arms for ISIS. And even Snopes had to admit some things. And I'm going to read you their answer here, portion of their answer here. Well, WikiLeaks has become the rebel library of Alexandria. It is the single most significant collection of information that doesn't exist elsewhere in a searchable, accessible, citable form, and about how modern institutions actually behave. And it's gone on to set people free from prison, where documents have been used in their court cases, hold the CIA accountable for renditions programs, feed into election cycles, which has resulted in the termination of, in some cases, or contributed to the termination of, governments, in some cases, taken the heads of intelligence agencies, ministers of defense, and so on. So, you know, our civilization can only be as good as our knowledge of what our civilization is. We can't possibly hope to reform that which we do not understand. So those Hillary Clinton emails, they connect together with the cables that we have published of Hillary Clinton, creating a rich picture of how Hillary Clinton performs in office, but more broadly how the U.S. Department of State operates, which is, of course, the deep state. So, for example, the disastrous, absolutely disastrous intervention in Libya, they assassinated, of course, their ruler and turned the whole country over to ISIS. It was a good start for ISIS, okay? Now back to what he says here. The destruction of the Gaddafi government, which led to the occupation of ISIS of large segments of that country, weapons flows going over to Syria being pushed by Hillary Clinton into jihadists within Syria, including ISIS, that's there in those emails. There's more than 1,700 emails in Hillary Clinton's collection that we have released just about Libya alone. Let's see, I think I'll go one more paragraph here. Assange appears to have been asserting that leaked emails and cables showed that various actions undertaken by Hillary Clinton and others at the U.S. State Department had resulted in weapons flows to jihadists within Syria, including ISIS. One would certainly make the case, from material published by WikiLeaks and elsewhere, that during Hillary Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State, the U.S. Provided weapons, either directly or indirectly, like I was talking about a while ago, to various factions in Libya and Syria, that some of those weapons might have indeed ended up in the hands of groups such as the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS, and that the latter was a foreseeable outcome of the former. So, what are we saying? Well, the threat that ISIS has made is not going to be from the little individual people that pop up here and there. That's going to be a grave threat to the United States, I don't believe. And I believe if you go online, there'll be people saying, oh, it can't happen, not with ISIS. They don't have that kind of ability and capability. And I agree with that. What I don't agree with is that they can't do it. And they have quite often made threats that they followed through with. So did Al-Qaeda. It was known for them making threats that they followed through with. So, and there's no difference, really. But anyway, what can we do? What can we do about it? What should we do about it? Well, we were warned by the Lord in dreams and words and such that this thing was coming. And we even asked the Lord, Lord, can we pray this away? And we got no's. But that we could lessen it. And we could lessen it for God's people. I believe we're headed towards the Red Sea. If you remember what happened at the Red Sea, Pharaoh's plan and his government plan was to destroy the people of God when he went to the Red Sea. God reversed his plan. It was he that got destroyed at the Red Sea. Another one that we've been given quite often is the Sennacherib scenario, how that they came there to wipe out the bride. But the opposite is what happened. Or Joel's chapter 2, Northern Army. They came there with overwhelming odds to destroy the bride. And the opposite happened. I do believe that the Lord will use this to take out enemies both within Christianity and within the government. I believe that he is able to protect everybody that listens to his word. He is able to protect everybody but the Satanists, their satanic government, their hatred. You know, God hates hatred very much. He hates unforgiveness very much. He even says that people who are unforgiven and judgmental, they'll be the judgment will be meted to them as they measured it out, and that those that lay a snare will fall into it themselves. How many times he says that, I don't know, but in various ways he says that. And we know that that's what's coming. They are laying a snare to wipe out Christianity. They were successful somewhat in the Middle East. Obama administration was successful in wiping out Christianity somewhat in the Middle East through ISIS. And they expected to do the same thing here, and they were stopped, but they haven't given up. Remember that God's people got their freedom from Pharaoh and his army, and they left Egypt, and they were headed to the Red Sea when he decided to strike again to bring them back under his authority. And that time he was wiped out. So, can it happen again? I do believe it will. There are many people out there among God's people who are enemies of the kingdom of God. They have fought against the word of God going forth. They've done everything they could to stop it. And these are enemies of God and enemies of his people, and his people need to be set free so that they can go into the wilderness following the reformers in cases like Moses leading them into the wilderness, providing for them in the wilderness, and so on and so forth, being used of God to do these things. So is the same thing going to happen? I believe so. I believe we're headed towards the tribulation, and that people need to be freed from their apostate religious system, which are just idols, and a bunch of false prophets plundering them and using it for their own aggrandizement. And so God wants to take them down. He's going to take these people down. If they don't repent, he's going to take them down. We've had dreams about people in the faction being destroyed in this basic takedown, this plague takedown. So, with that in mind, I also want to report to you that I had a friend years ago who lived over on the East Coast, and he was sitting down at his computer. He was a prophet. He sat down at his computer. The Lord told him what to type in. He typed it in. He came to our website. Then he contacted me. And some of you already know the story. The Lord had told him, and he told me that the Lord told him that he was going to see the son of perdition. At the particular time he said that, I started to say, no, that's not possible. And the Lord just hushed me. And he basically told me that the article I was working on at the moment, which this guy did not know, was the son of perdition. And when I got through with it, I could send it to him. And so that's exactly what I did. When I got through with it, I sent it to him, and he read it, and he said, I see the son of perdition. Yes. Well, he told me this when he contacted me that time, and I thought it was a confirmation. He said, we have 8 million Muslims in America. It may be more than that now. And when the war breaks out in the Holy Land and America gets involved, and America has been involved over there in this war, he said 8 million Muslims will burn America to the ground. There will be fires. Now, we've already seen fires. I saw them equidistant down there in Florida when they lit up Florida. And they've done it in California, and they've done it in other places. And so, but he also saw this. He said, and that could have been a confirmation for this. I saw Muslim women coming into America, and in their inner body parts, vials of anthrax and biochemicals. And I saw 180 million Americans die in a 72-hour period. Now, for this to happen in a 72-hour period, it would have to be distributed like they did the fires, different places across the country.
Yeah.
And he went on to share other things. But what I want to point out is the Lord has a cure for all this, for his people. The people who are righteous, the people who are justified by their faith, the people who have faith in the Word of God, the people who have eaten the whole Lamb of God, which is the only way they had a Passover. They had to eat the whole Lamb, meaning you believe in the full gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who is the Word of God. Okay. These people have a Passover. In other words, God may use this very well and will use this very well to clean up Christianity. It may be a lot of loss of life, both of Christians and non-Christians, but what it's going to end up being is better for the country and better for Christianity to get the leaven out. Okay, this is what I believe the Lord is saying. What do we do? Well, you know, in Exodus 15 and 26, he says, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his eyes, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians." So he's in absolute control over this for the people that believe and obey. Absolute control. "I will put none of the diseases." Who's doing it? God. "I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians." Also, when he separated his people from the Egyptians, his people in Goshen from the Egyptians, and the plagues, as they were called, fell upon the Egyptians only, who was in absolute control over that? God Almighty. Even the light which the Egyptians had in their houses, which the Israelis had in their houses, the Egyptians didn't have. Light. "For I am the Lord that healeth thee," he said. "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Health comes from God. It doesn't come from any of your protections. It doesn't come from any of your remedies. It doesn't come from any of those things. It comes from God. And it comes to the believer by faith, because the Bible says, "By whose stripes you were healed. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases." So, we have a Savior. We need to be believing Him. First, we need to be righteous. We need to be hearkening unto His Word. We need to be repenting of willful disobedience. Hebrews 10:26 says, "If we sin willfully, we have no sacrifice, but a fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries." It will devour the adversaries. Judgment will devour the adversaries. You see, there are many adversaries among God's people. If you examine, for instance, verses 1 and verses 9, you'll come to the conclusion that we have a place to hide. It's called the secret place. Psalm 91:1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And verse 9, "For thou, O Lord, art my refuge." And then the answer to that is, "Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation." In other words, you are in the secret place of the Most High. You're under the shadow of the Almighty. We have to be hidden with Christ in God, as 1 John 2:24 says. And he also says, as for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. It doesn't matter what your church believes. It doesn't matter what you believe if you don't believe the truth. And it's radically different than apostate Christianity would have us to believe. Radically different. In fact, it's no different than what was passed out by the Lord in the time of the apostles. It's men that have destroyed Christianity and its teaching. And of course, these have been judged for that and are being judged and will be judged for that. He puts a curse in the last four verses of the book on anybody that adds to his word and takes away from his word. Because it's the word that is supernatural. It's the word that saves us from our enemies. It's the word that's a lamb that they had to eat completely in order to have a Passover from the death angel. In other words, we must believe what Jesus and the apostles gave us in the beginning in order to be in the secret place. The traditions of men are not going to save us. And Paul said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. 2 Timothy 4 and 18. He also said that Jesus bore the curse so that we would be blessed. Galatians 3 and 13. He also said that we are delivered out of the power of darkness. Colossians 1 and 13. Do you believe these things? It's necessary for us to believe these things. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. If you believe that the curse is a threat to your life, possibly you don't have any faith because you're not repentant. If our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God, the scripture says. My suggestion is get prepared for this with a holy life. Make sure that your children even believe this because they are just powerhouses of faith if you tell them the truth. And their faith is powerful. And forgive. Remember, in Matthew 18, the story that Jesus gave of the king, who was obviously himself, who forgave a servant. And this servant went out and did not forgive his fellow servant. And when it was reported to the king, he was angry, extremely angry, and had this servant and his whole family thrown into prison. His whole family. In other words, this evil servant that wouldn't forgive his fellow servant was the cause of his whole family being thrown into prison. What is the prison? Well, remember the man-child, Jesus came in Luke chapter 4 and he quoted Isaiah 61 about delivering people from prison. Now, he was talking about not a physical prison, although that's part of it, but a spiritual prison. Back in Matthew 18, he tells us that if you don't forgive everyone, your brother, from the heart, my Father will turn you over to the tormentors. The tormentors rule this prison. There are many Christians out there under the tormentors because of unforgiveness. Not only that, their whole family. They brought that curse into their house. Their whole family is under the curse because of them. We've told you this. We wondered years ago why that when somebody, a leader of a house, was factious and became critical and lying and slanderous, that the whole family got turned over to demons. Well, there's the answer right there in Matthew 18. Very, very clear. So these people are guilty of destroying their whole family, people around them, with their imparting demons to people by slander. See, but they don't have any protection. They've got no protection from the curse. Jesus bore the curse for us, but not for those that are willfully disobedient. That's what Hebrews 10:26 says. If we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul was walking with the Lord when he said, "The Lord will deliver me from every evil work." The walk of the rebellious is not going to save them. 1 John 2:5 and 6 says, "Hereby we know that we are in Him," that is, in the secret place of the Most High, the place of protection by the angels, according to Psalm 91. "Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." You know, in Psalm 91, there is an important thing spoken there, because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If we confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father. In Psalm 91 and 2, it says, "I will say of the Lord." Now, this only counts for people who have a clean conscience, who have, you know, confessed their sins and repented of their willful disobedience to God. Psalm 91 and 2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." I will say of the Lord, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And then down in verse 9, he says, "For Thou, O Lord, art my refuge." There he is. He's confessing it, right? "I will say it." Now he's confessing it. Then it says, "Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation." There it is again. We pointed this out. You're making the Most High your habitation, because you're confessing Him before men. If we say He is our refuge, He becomes our habitation. In other words, we're abiding in Him. And who's going to hurt you in there, right? With the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Soteria is all of my needs supplied, like a little child. It's not just what people call salvation. Salvation, you can have salvation from the curse. You can have salvation from sin. You can have salvation from the lost world. Salvation covers a lot. And confession here, of course, is the Greek word homologeo, which means to speak the same as. In other words, say what God says. To not say what God says is to not confess Him before men. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Everyone, therefore, who shall confess Me before men, him will I confess before My Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny Me before men, him also will I deny before My Father who is in heaven." So, to deny what the Lord says before men is to not be justified before the Father at that point, because Jesus is the high priest of our confession, and He has to bring that offering before the Father. It's the offering of your lips. Romans 3 and 4 says, "God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified," which means called righteous, "that thou mightest be justified in thy words." How are you justified in your words? Let God be true. What He says, you say. Not what the preacher says, what He says, you say. Justified in thy words, and what? and might prevail when thou comest into judgment. We're about to come into judgment. Don't know exactly how soon, but I think the deep state's getting backed into a corner. Even the elite are threatened by the investigations. So I think they have to do something. So be justified by God. Be called righteous by God when this thing comes. And prevail when you come into judgment. You won't escape if you're not. Yes, they may very well spray things from the air and do things on the earth. But we have a Passover. A Savior. All that was written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. We have this Passover. You know, we're promised protection from the deadly pestilence in Psalm 91. Verse 3, 5, and 6. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Now, if your preachers talked you into believing that this only happens in the millennium, when there is no pestilence, you're going to miss out on something here. But they have to make this healing thing be something that's anti-Christ. They have to do that because they've got no power to do it and they're not doing it, therefore it's not right. The same thing about tongues, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, same thing. But the Lord promises to deliver you from the deadly pestilence. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Don't be afraid. That's what's going to invite your disaster. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And we know that the Hebrew word pestilence here means an epidemic disease. However, in verse 10, the word plague, which we would normally equate with the pestilence, is not at all restricted to an epidemic. The Hebrew word plague just means a blow or to smite. And it's in this, in verse 10 it says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. So notice in this verse that if we are in the secret place, we are not under the plagues or judgments of God. And this is witnessed in Exodus 12 and 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Of course, they had to eat the whole lamb. The head, legs, inwards, which represents the mind of Christ, the walk of Christ, the heart of Christ. He said, don't let any of it be left until the morning. God in this was warning us of the same kinds of judgments which you see in the book of Revelation coming upon the world, and that we have a Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5 tells us our Passover lamb has already been sacrificed. He's Jesus. And so you have to walk under that blood, right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? 1 John 1, 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Fellowship one with another, because there's love there, right? And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And I believe walking in the light here is the light of the Word of God. So the blood cleanses us through walking in the Word. I know a lot of people are not going to tell you that. They think you're talking works when you say that, but you can see I'm quoting it right out of the Bible here. And 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, which is the Word, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So you can see that the cleansing of the blood is applied through the Word. Remember Hosea 4 and 6, my people are destroyed, like in plagues, for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Of what? Of the Word, of the promises. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, and let me say to you, most religious people have rejected knowledge. They just come and let the preacher tell them what the book says, and he doesn't know either. Because thou hast rejected knowledge of what? The Word. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will forget thy children. Did you hear that? I will forget thy children. In 1 Corinthians 7, it's the believing parents who have sanctified children. They have a promise for their children, the believing parents. What do the parents have to believe? Well, they can't depart from the Word of God. If they do, they're under the curse. And their children are too, as we've just shared with you. If you don't depart from the Word of God, your children have a promise. I raised 5 kids. We studied the Word of God. We believed all of this. And they were always healed. We're in a battle, folks. The principalities and powers want to take away the benefits of the kingdom. They don't want it to be spread. They're using wicked people to try to destroy it. We have to put on the armor of God. You have to do that. By faith in the Word of God, you have to put on the armor of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, the shield of faith, which is faith in the Word, the helmet of salvation, which comes from the Word. Put on the armor of God. If you want to escape these things. Well, Father, we put our trust in you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us of our sins. And that we in turn forgive others. That you be the judge, and that we in turn will not be the judge, so that we're not judged. We ask, Father, that you convict us of any rebellion against your word, which is witchcraft, or any faction, which you said you hated and it was an abomination. We ask, Lord, that you deliver your elect from whatever captivity that they're in, to be free to follow Moses into the wilderness, or your elect man-child in these days into the wilderness, and that you bring down those who have deceived them and are keeping them in Babylonish captivity. We ask that you bring them down. And Lord, while we're at it, the mainstream media and the tech industry is joined together to deceive the American people, a false prophet, if you will. We ask you, Lord, to bring them down. We ask you, Lord, that now they are cutting out the right wing from their media, which is, of course, against the law. We ask you, Lord, that the law be brought to bear upon them, and that the trap that they have laid and prepared for the midterm elections will spring on them instead. as you said in your word. Well, thank you for joining us today, saints. God bless you and keep you, and keep us in your prayers. Thank you so much. And we love you. Good night.